97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that we don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This.
Let's get it on.
Is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Good morning to you. The sun's starting to rise over beautiful Eureka, Missouri. We're live down here on South Central this morning and starting to get a nice crowd of people showing up to Chicken Ellie's. I see people over there eating breakfast this morning, and it's just great to be down here. It is 9/11. We've got a huge American flag here, courtesy of the Eureka Fire Department has brought that out, and the folks from the Focus Marine Foundation are down here. We're trying to help them out today with a little bit of fundraising, and we're going to introduce you to the executive director and one of their instructors coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We appreciate that. Lots of great business owners have shown up down here this morning. Jennifer and Shane were just here from the Landing Hub and the Cigar Vault down in Pacific. We've got Terry Selbert here from Selbert's Auto Body. Lots of great folks showing up. So thanks to all of you for your support down here. Glad to be live this morning.
And I'm thankful for the weather. It's chilly, but it's a nice morning, and it's just a great time to be out here live in Eureka.
It is gorgeous, and hopefully you've still got plenty of time to join us. We'll be here for the next 2 hours. So drop by downtown Eureka and say hello, please, and maybe help out the Focus Marine Foundation while you're here. You can go to focusmarines.org, and you can donate even if you can't make it down. We would appreciate that. All right, the other big news yesterday, besides the debate, was this decision by the Missouri Supreme Court. And, of course, Judge Limbaugh had basically taken this thing and said it's unconstitutional the way it's worded, this Amendment 3, and it immediately was appealed to the Supreme Court. They made their decision yesterday and decided to keep it on the ballot. We've got Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft on the phone this morning. And, Mr. Secretary, we should have drug you out here to Eureka this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sounds like it's beautiful in Eureka. I love this time of year in Missouri.
Yeah, it's beautiful down here. So a little bit of a setback yesterday. You had decertified Amendment 3, and I guess for now the court overrode that, correct?
Yeah, I had, frankly, after the lawsuit at the circuit court level, after listening to the arguments, after having the court affirm that it could be thrown out by not following that requirement, a requirement that, as far as I can tell, had never been used to throw out an initiative petition. I said, well, if that's true, then I need to decertify it. I actually agree with what Judge Limbaugh said. But unfortunately, yesterday the court overruled that. And what's really concerning, interesting how you put it, is they came out and said, no, put it on the ballot, but they didn't give any explanation as to why. Now, supposedly that's coming. I hope that comes quickly, because I think part of our republic and part of having open courts is, if they're going to come down with a judgment, they need to explain how they got to that, what the legal reasoning was. It's not just a decree from on high, or it shouldn't be.
I know one of the concerns with this, about this particular initiative petition, was the way that it was worded, because it was so vague. And I know people were saying this could open the door to gender transition surgery for minors, for example. I mean, how concerned are you that if this passes, that could be the path we go down here in Missouri?
Well, I'm extremely concerned that the language is vague. That's why I was so careful to write a ballot title and ballot summary language that went into exactly what this initiative petition would do. But time and time again, the court has overruled that language to make it more nebulous, and I think to make it harder for people to know what voting yes would mean on this constitutional amendment.
Yeah, I don't know if you're willing to go there or not. I am. I fear politics played a role in this decision by the court, that they didn't want to be responsible for taking this issue off the ballot. But it strikes me that if you support the initiative petition process and this one was worded incorrectly, you always have the opportunity to bring that back in the next election cycle. I'm a little surprised that the court made the decision it did, and I am anxious to hear what their reasoning was.
Well, it is very clear after all of the court cases and all the litigation about this Amendment 3 that the only reason it's on the ballot is because the court wanted it to be on the ballot. If you look at how they changed the language multiple times, and there's no other explanation to me, but the court wanted it on the ballot, and that's why it's there.
Yeah. Do you? I mean, obviously, we're the deadline was yesterday for issues on the ballot. Let's talk about the election integrity issue again. Here we're having debates around the country as to whether or not we should make sure that illegals are not able to vote in our elections. We're, Missouri again. I like to brag about it. We got ranked in what, the top three or four states in the nation when it comes to election integrity.
You know, we moved that high. Unfortunately, we haven't done anything since 2022 through the legislative process. And our office, I believe, has gone as far as we're allowed under statute to secure our elections. I've been pushing the legislature to pass a law requiring proof of citizenship when people register or when they vote. In 2016, when the people of this state passed a constitutional amendment to allow the government-issued photo ID requirement, they passed that amendment. In that amendment, they said that could be required not only just for identification, to identify who you are, but also to prove residency and to prove citizenship. And a lot of people talk about banning non-citizens from voting. And yes, non-citizens shouldn't be able to vote, but that won't really change anything. The way you change it is to make people prove they're citizens. Otherwise, people can just illegally vote as non-citizens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely concerned about that, and I'm thinking about that as I'm watching the debate last night. I don't know if you had a chance yourself to catch the debate. I was just curious to get your thoughts on it.
I did. I watched it. It didn't make me feel better for the future of our country, I'll put it that way.
Did you feel like the moderators did their job or not? Because many people felt like it was, of course, President Trump against not only the vice president, but the two moderators on ABC, right?
Well, I think the moderators did their job. They supported Kamala Harris and put the thumb down on the scale. I mean, look, it is the press is in the tank for Kamala Harris. They are not about reporting the truth. They are not about letting people decide. They are about growing government, about telling people how to run their lives, and really reducing freedom. That's the worst part. Kamala Harris wants to talk about freedom, but she wants nothing to do with it for the people of this state, the country and this state.
Yeah, that's a good point. Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, thanks for your attempts to stop Amendment 3. I guess we now have to wait and see in November.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep, good to have you on this morning. Glad you gave us a few minutes. Yeah, this is the other thing adding to the question mark that now hangs over November. You have to assume Josh Hawley's a favorite. Most of the Republicans on the statewide ballot will be the favorites, and yet they're expecting increased voter turnout because of the abortion issue, because of Amendment 3. If that's driving those people to the polls, what impact does it have overall?
I agree. I think that's going to be an issue that's going to bring out a lot of people who typically wouldn't even consider going out and voting, and they feel very passionate about that issue, and I wish more people who were pro-life felt the same, just as passionate. That is something that would drive me to the polls, no matter what. That's how strong I feel about it, strongly, and I am nervous, leading up to November. I know God's in control, but it's still scary thinking about what could happen. I'm proud to live in a state right now where abortion is banned, and we know that that could change very soon.
Well, let's hope that we turn out the vote. There's no excuse. Talk to your friends and neighbors and get them to the polls. All right. Continuing our live report down here in Eureka, Missouri this morning. Lots of great folks showing up to say hello. You still got plenty of time. We'll be here for the rest of the show, another hour and 45 minutes. So stop by, say hello, grab some breakfast. Some of these great restaurants, Chickenelli's right across the street here. We've already had some food from there, and it's just really good stuff. Stop and see us. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the Focus Marine Foundation, They're sitting out here. They got a booth right next to us. People can donate. They help veterans in so many different ways. Yeah. We're going to talk to not only one of their instructors, but also their executive director just at the bottom of the hour as we continue to do our live broadcast here in downtown Eureka. We're back in just a minute.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
She did things that nobody would ever think of. Now she wants to do transgender operations on illegal aliens that are in prison. This is a radical left liberal that would do this. She wants to confiscate your guns, and she will never allow fracking in Pennsylvania. If she won the election, fracking in Pennsylvania will end on day one.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was one of Donald Trump's stronger statements last night. The vice president refuted that, claims somehow that she's a gun owner. That's the first time I've ever heard that one. She also claimed Tim Walz is a gun owner. I thought the president hit home with that one. People care about these issues. They care about how their tax dollars are spent. He didn't have a lot of those moments, not nearly enough of them, I didn't think. He missed a couple of key opportunities last night. But still, did it change minds? I don't know. We've got Cody Sargent with us right now, who's a senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation, in for a Genevieve Wood this morning. And, Cody, welcome into the show.
Good morning. It's great to be back with you all.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us some time this morning. What was your reaction? I mean, we're live with our show this morning down here in Eureka, Missouri. A few people have been walking up to me. Some of them have expressed their disappointment that Trump wasn't, stronger, or that she got under his skin a little bit last night. What's your take on it?
Well, I think, you know, we're having a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking right now, which is very classic after a presidential debate. And I was with a lot of my colleagues last night at Heritage in D.C., and you know, we live and breathe this every day. So, of course, you know, there were opportunities where we would have loved to see more. But I think my main takeaway from last night is I didn't really learn anything, and I don't think much has changed. You know, there's a lot of consternation on the right this morning over the abysmal job of ABC, the completely biased moderation of the debate, constantly fact-checking Trump, refusing to fact-check Harris. That did happen, but that's not a surprise. We know ABC is biased. This is the network that lied and gave Hillary Clinton the questions in advance in 2016. So that wasn't new. I wanted to hear more about Vice President Harris's concrete plans to do the things she's saying she's going to do. She did not. She gave more gobbledygook answers that sound like ChatGPT or AI wrote them with no details. So that wasn't new. And President Trump talked about how life was better when he was president. That is a fact. So that wasn't new. So I really don't know how much I learned, and I'm not sure how much the race has changed by last night. I do think the clip you played were some of President Trump's best points, pointing to the radical positions that Kamala Harris has, banning fracking, confiscating guns, eliminating private health insurance. And yes, in 2019, she said she supported taxpayer-funded transgender surgeries for migrants and other criminals in prison. That is a fact, whether ABC wanted to check her on that or not. So he did bring up those radical things. But again, I'm not sure how much the race was changed after last night. I think people know in their hearts that they're not better off than they were 4 years ago.
Yeah. We knew that Project 2025 would come up, and it absolutely did. It's all over Kamala Harris's website, where she finally posted her policies, if you want to call them that. They're very vague. What was your reaction last night to Donald Trump, you know, repeatedly saying, I have nothing to do with that? Of course, it was the Heritage Foundation that put that out.
Well, you're right. We were not surprised at all that it has come up. This has been a focal point of the Democrats' campaign. They're lying about it because they have nothing else to run on. President Trump is absolutely correct. He is not affiliated with Project 2025. The Heritage Foundation pulled together about 110 other groups united behind the movement and published a policy book called The Mandate for Leadership in 2023, before President Trump was even a candidate for president. Of course, many of his former senior staffers helped on it because he is the most immediate past Republican president. That is what happens in think tanks in Washington, D.C. But he isn't affiliated. He was right to point that out. And again, another moment in which ABC refused to fact-check Kamala Harris, lying about it on stage, even though CNN, The Washington Post, The AP, and others have debunked that claim many times.
It's a good point, Cody, and I've got a little less than a minute here, but to Heritage has been doing something like this for years. I mean, you've put out this blueprint for years, and whether or not politicians choose to follow it or not is up to them.
Correct. This is something that Heritage has published since the 80s. It's not a new concept. But I would like to say the ideas in it are pretty popular. Unleashing energy, cutting taxes, fixing education. They are not bad ideas. It is Democrat lies because they have nothing to run on. And again, I think Americans prefer our country when President Trump was president, and I think they'll put him in office again to enact his agenda.
Cody Sargent with the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Thank you, Cody.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, good to get his take on that and a little bit of truth there about Project 2025, which you did not hear or get fact-checked by ABC News last night. Coming up, we're live in Eureka. We're going to introduce you to the folks from the Focus Marines Foundation coming up and talk about all the great work they do on this 9/11. We're going to be right back. I hope if you are out and about, you have a chance to swing by before the show is over this morning, because we're trying to help out our friends from the Focus Marine Foundation and just the great work they do. I mean, it takes on extra meaning because today, of course, is the anniversary of 9/11. And a lot of veterans, I mean, this is just so impactful what they do for our veterans and the people involved in the war on terror and the ones that came back and maybe needed some direction when they got back. This morning, we got Brian and Jennifer Jefferson with us with the Focus Marines Foundation. Jennifer's the executive director. Brian's one of the instructors, and we appreciate having you here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for all you do. So for people who may not be as familiar with the organization, obviously, as we are, tell us what you do.
So we bring veterans in, post 9/11 primarily, from all over the country four times a year, and we have a seven-day program here in Augusta, Missouri, and we help them reconnect with the person that they want to be and really give them the tools to make that happen. We know that we can't take anything away from their trauma. We can't fix that for them, but we can maybe give them a new perspective to help them live a better life, whatever that means for them.
Yeah, what do those numbers look like? I mean, how many people are you able to bring in at a time?
So we bring in about 25 to 30 veterans every time, so a little over 100 a year, and we're almost about to be over 1,100 with this upcoming session that we have coming next week. So we've changed quite a lot of lives. So
what types of things specifically would you be doing with those veterans?
So we help them really understand how things get embedded in your brain and what makes you who you are. And then if that's not working for you, some tools on how to make the difference and how to change that. So if for whatever reason they've got anger issues or they're really struggling with depression or relationship issues, we not only help them identify those issues, we help them actually with tools so that they can make those issues better for them and better for their families and their children. So,
Brian, tell us about your role.
So I get to go out and give them some of those tools.
And hang out, yeah.
Yeah, hang out with them. You know, it's always nice to be around a bunch of Marines again, and so it's enjoyable. We do a lot of things. We walk through them and identify their behavioral traits, those things that help define them and bring them peace in their life and how to maximize them. We talk to them about how to open and run a business and some of the challenges they may face, right? Turning some of those hobbies they have into, you know, business ventures and producing income for their family again to reach the goals that they've set, you know, throughout the session.
You've got veterans who are physically affected by what they've been through. You've got obviously others that are emotionally affected. I see the numbers. This is the most recent number in my brain, is that we're losing like 22 veterans a day to suicide. Anything you can do to reach those folks? I mean, I'm not saying that a lot of the folks that come here are at risk for that, but I guess you never know, right?
Correct. And a lot of it's reconnecting them back with their community, their tribe.
Right.
The Marine Corps is a tight-knit community, right? And all the branches of the service are. There's only 1% of our country that serves in any branch of the service. So connecting them back and providing, you know, groups like the calls Jen holds once a month, 22, you know, a day, those calls and the refocus calls where she brings them back in, reaffirms the information they've heard out there, goes a little deeper into that. She's brought people back into those sessions who've, you know, attended 10 years ago.
Wow.
In the program. So they're always connected back into it, and it becomes a real family and a real tribe.
I was going to say that's probably key to this, right, is that it creates that network for them so that even when they're no longer with your program, they still have that group of friends or just even you guys who they can turn back to if anything comes up? Because I imagine this is a lifelong process for them, right? They go and they experience something like that, being in the Marine Corps, and then you come back and you're just expected to go back to normal life. And obviously not having any military experience, but I cannot even imagine how difficult that would be.
Yes, and I think bringing them all together and helping them to work this program together is really the secret sauce, because they are so alone sometimes in the way that they're feeling and isolated from everything, which is a huge cause of part of that 22 a day, is that they're just isolated and out there alone trying to deal with all of this stuff by themselves. We don't do that in the military. We always have a buddy with us. And so giving them back that purpose of being part of that team and that purpose of being there for the next guy that might be struggling is also part of it. And giving them that network of folks that they can do that with is huge. So.
I love to hear that you're can still connected to people who were maybe here 10 years ago.
Yes, and we will tell them that we will never leave you. So if you are still wanting to engage, 20 years from now, they all have my personal cell phone number. And I have connections to different resources, and I know I'm not the only one that is like that. Everybody that's involved in our program has that same, call me, don't sit here by yourself and struggle, call me, don't be alone. So.
Right. Brian, any stories, like personal stories you could relate from your time with these veterans over the years where you could just maybe tell the impact that it's had?
They've had more of an impact on me.
Probably.
Than I ever could on them. Seeing some of the adversity these guys go through, some of the challenges they go through. And some of it is realizing we were lucky. I got to marry a Marine. So we were both in the Marine Corps together. So we've got to do our journey together in life. And life comes with ups and downs, and sometimes they're not combat related, but giving them those tools that we have available to us is amazing. We have friends here today. Yeah, Todd Nicely is going to speak later. I mean, the adversity he's gone through in his life and how he's impacted other people's lives is amazing to watch. So I can't say that I give anything. I probably take as much as I give.
You have some people listening right now, I'm sure, who are thinking, gosh, this is a fantastic organization. I'd love to get involved. What are some of the practical ways that people could get involved and help out your organization, give back?
So always donations help, because we are privately funded. We are a 501c3. We take no government funding whatsoever. And so it is private donations that make our program possible. Bringing these guys in from all over the country is at no expense to them. So we take care of all of their travel and we make sure they get here comfortably. But donations always are helpful. And then we also, if you know somebody that's struggling, and all of this can be found at our website, focusmarines.org. It's super easy. It's right on the front page. It's not complicated at all. So they can apply to come as a participant, then they can also donate right there as well.
Yeah, and we do have a table down here on South Central in Eureka. If you're in the area, you can swing by before the end of the broadcast. You got another hour and 15 minutes here. You can make a donation in person. If it's easier to do it online, we can do it that way. But in addition to that, you can meet some of the fine folks like you two who've dedicated your life to doing this. Thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you for having us. This is awesome to be here.
I mean, the significance of being here on 9/11, right. What does that mean to you?
Oh my gosh, everybody that I've met that has come through this program, and myself included, I know exactly where I was in that moment when that happened, and every one of them was there, and they stood up and they joined even after that happened, knowing that what they were stepping into. So I am always honored to be part of this program and to meet them. And they are true heroes in my eyes, even though every one of them will say, oh, I'm not a hero. But they did heroic. They did courageous things. And they were scared, and they did it anyway. And I just think that I'm always just so in awe of the whole experience when I get to meet them. So yeah.
Being surrounded by guys and gals who put the country first above themselves, right, is the ultimate sacrifice. We're sitting out here with first responders with the flag up, the same DNA, right? Society and country first, and then family.
Well, we appreciate what you guys do. Jennifer, Brian, thank you so much for everything. And hopefully people will take our advice and go to focusmarines.org, make your donation. You know what they're doing here. It's just such great work, and can't wait to meet Todd Nicely and Sean Harrigan a little later in the show. I think they're going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour, so thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We do. Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. Hang on. I think we have a rather large donation that's about to be made here, if we can get him to come up here right now, and I appreciate that. Terry Selbert is joining us right now. Donating a check for $1,500 to Focus Marines Foundation.
That is so amazing.
And he is with Selbert's Auto Body here in town.
Thank you so much.
And we can't say enough about that. Terry, thank you very much. We do appreciate that, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's good. See, we're off to a good start.
And I do have one plug.
Yeah.
In April, we generally have our Mess Night event, which is a piece of Marine Corps history that's our largest fundraising event that we have all year. And it is absolutely amazing to step into a room and experience some of that tradition, right, with our mentors who come out there and work with these people. It's fantastic. And you can find information on the website also, Mark.
Outstanding. FocusMarines.org. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Absolutely. Coming up, we do a lot. We saw our friend Bo Matthews here a few minutes ago. I see Bo back there in the crowd.
You have to say Bo Matthews.
Bo Matthews is here this morning, and he does so much for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund and the community down here in Eureka. We're going to talk to Chuck Mayer as well in just a couple of minutes and talk a little bit more about what they're doing. They're building they've got a new police station they're building down here, and the support fund has stepped in to help out these police officers in so many different ways. All coming up as we continue live in the beautiful downtown Eureka this morning. We'll be right back.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
Evening calm, watching the ships rolling. And I'll watch them roll away.
Live in Eureka, Missouri this morning. It's a beautiful morning out here. So happy we could be here on a couple of different fronts, right? I mean, obviously, we've got our Focus Marine folks. We're helping out. Remember what happened on 9/11, and we were just talking to Mark Reardon about that, listening to some of the – he was listening to some of the – those initial 911 calls from the towers when the planes hit this morning. And Sue Thomas and I were working together at Channel 4 that morning on a newscast when that whole thing went down. And just there's no way to talk about this day without immediately going back to where you were at that moment. We got Chuck Mayer with us this morning, obviously very active down here helping out with the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund and the Chamber and all that great stuff in Eureka. And Mike Wurgis, captain with the Police Department, appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Just let me ask, since we're talking about that, as a first responder, the significance of 9/11 for you.
Well, it's incredibly significant. I think we look at today and not just today, but the sacrifice that a lot of the first responders and our military people make every single day. And I think this is a great day just to take time to think about those things and think about what happened. And I think we as a country kind of forget things awful quick. And I certainly don't when it comes to 9/11.
Well, what I'll never let them forget is the fact that you guys are the one running toward the gunfire while the rest of us are running away or running into the building that's about to collapse. I mean, that's the thing that hits home for me. And Chuck, thanks to you, my friend. I mean, whenever I talk to Bo Matthews about the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund, your name always comes up because you're always helping these guys out.
Well, I appreciate that, Bo. I couldn't do a lot of it without Bo's help. But, we're here to support the police. It's hard to believe, but it's been 10 years since we started a fund. We started it to kind of say we've got your back, and then it's turned into a good thing where we've been able to donate money. The new police station's going in. We're able to donate the equipment for the gym. There's a new shooting system's going in. It's about supporting the police. We have money for if there's a police officer injured, but we also have – we've been able to raise money to help with wellness and preparedness so they don't get hurt.
Yeah. The new gymnasium they're putting in down there for you, is that right?
Yeah, it's immensely important. Officer wellness is part of our retention, right? So retention is more important than actually hiring. So once we train an officer, we want to retain them. We want to keep them healthy and well. And I think as a police commander, we have an obligation to return them healthy and well to their families after 20, 25 years of service.
You hear how many police departments across, well, I say across the country, but specifically in the St. Louis area that are struggling right now.
Right.
You know, I think about the St. Louis Police Department that's, what, 300-plus officers short. And
right.
like you said, retention is so key right now, and you're competing against all these other departments.
It is. It's very incredibly important. I think, and you, as you see Eureka, I like to look at it as a model. Obviously, I'm a little biased. I grew up here and worked here for 27 years. But I think it's a great role model of what communities can do. It's not about any individual. It's about business. It's coming together. It's capitalism. It's we understand as a local government that we're just here to represent our people.
Right.
And I think we at Eureka work really hard at that from as a team perspective, from our city hall to the police to the fire department. And I think it shows.
Well, Captain and Chuck, thanks for all that you do.
Thank you. I would like to make one announcement, if we could. We do have somebody running for the police chief here shortly.
Yes, we do.
Oh, Captain Wargis.
Oh, that would be me. We talk about running into the gunfire, running the other way. I would rather do all those things than run for a political position.
Well, but congratulations on that. We appreciate you both. We're going to be back live in Eureka in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.